Peter, how did Mr. Carter fit into the club of the former presidents during his post-presidency?
Well, today, as you look at the row of Carter's successors in that esteemed president's club, you'll see men who he had on-again, off-again relationships with, mostly off in some cases. We saw it in the 2009 Oval Office photo that you're probably familiar with, Chris, the day that George W. Bush so graciously invited all of the living presidents to meet with then-President-elect Obama. I, for one, having covered Carter since he was governor of Georgia, I wasn't really surprised to see him standing a bit off to the side, just by a foot or so, of the other men. He always spoke his mind, never abided by the unwritten rule of the president's club to never speak ill of the guy in office.
Of all the work that Mr. Carter did post-presidency, election monitoring, Habitat for Humanity, the work the Carter Center continues to do, there's obviously so much more. Is there one endeavor in your mind, Peter, that was the most significant?
I would say, you know, and I think that he felt that the destruction, the defeat of the dreaded guinea worm disease in Africa was something that he often pointed to. He was also very proud of the way that he and Mrs. Carter and their team went into disputed elections in third world countries to help sort things out for countries to keep revolutions from developing again.
Is there a difference in his legacy, maybe his legacy as the president and then his legacy post-presidency?
Yeah, I think so. And he said it quite often with that grin of his that he realized that he was remembered, he would be remembered more, Chris, for his post-presidency than for what happened when he was in office. That said, there's no overlooking the Egyptian-Israeli peace agreement, especially with the turmoil going on in that dangerous neighborhood right now, that it is a cold peace that has held all these years. And, you know, it hit me every time I traveled to the Middle East on assignment that Egypt and Israel, the longtime enemies, were still, holding their fire because of the Camp David Accord.
Peter, I've been thinking the last day or so just about the relationship that President Carter later developed with President Ford, who was one of his chief rivals during that election season. Is that something that maybe we're not going to see anymore, just these two different politicians on opposite ends of the aisle that have come together for the common good of our country?
Well, it's hard to envision right now. I did see it develop, between the late George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. Mm. I was on a trip that they made at the behest of George W. Bush to the tsunami countries in Asia, and I was on the plane with them and actually witnessed them having a very cordial relationship. But going back to Carter and Ford, you know, Ford, of course, was the guy who Jimmy Carter came in and defeated, but they eventually had a very warm relationship. Gerald Ford's son, Steve, will deliver the eulogy that his dad wrote. And Ted Mondale, who is the son of the former vice president who served with Carter, will deliver his dad's words. Think about this. Gerald Ford had asked Carter to remember him at his own funeral. Hmm. And at that 2006 service in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Carter said that he and Ford often agreed that, quote, the intense personal relationship that they had over a quarter of a century was one of their greatest blessings after leaving office.
Peter, a couple thoughts before I let you go as we look at today's state funeral. What do you expect that we'll hear at that state funeral today?
Well, as I mentioned, you're going to hear the eulogies of two guys who died before him, President Ford and Vice President Mondale, read by their sons. The main eulogy will be given by a guy who was a young senator, a brand new senator when Jimmy Carter ran back in 1976, Joe Biden. Hmm. President Biden was one of the first Democrats to endorse Jimmy Carter back in the day, and he'll be delivering what I suspect will be a very emotional eulogy, especially as Joe Biden faces just a few days left in his own term of office. And Andrew Young, the great civil rights leader, one of the only surviving civil rights leaders, a man who was very close to President Carter, served as his United Nations ambassador, will be delivering the homily today. Andy Young once said that Jimmy Carter was the most misunderstood president since Thomas Jefferson.
Wow. These state funerals, the pomp and circumstance that goes along with them, some of the things that America does best. Why do you think these state funerals are so important to our country?
Well, because, Chris, they are national moments. They don't happen, thank goodness, too often. You know, we will see the pageantry of it today. And again, a lot of the focus will be on those living former presidents and President Biden, who will be sitting there right row to row, seat to seat next to each other. Hey, and think of this, my friend. Jimmy Carter lived so long, 100 years, that Bill Clinton, who will be sitting there with his wife, former Secretary of State, former First Lady Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton is now the only surviving former president who was elected in the 20th century.
Wow. Hard to believe. Yep. Hard to believe. Peter Mayer, former CBS News White House correspondent. Peter, thank you for your time and perspective this morning. Hope we get a chance to visit again in the future.
I do too, Chris. Always great to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.